we come here anticipating. A word from you, Lord God, that would encourage us, that would cause us to understand that without our participation, the kingdom would not make its advance. Father, stir our hearts today. The work is plenteous, but the workers are few. Father, I pray that this day we will have more workers. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's title is You Are Giant Killers. In the previous weeks, I started off by reminding us, and some of you have never known, that your spirit is a warring spirit. That's who our Father is. We just kind of affirm that that's Him, that's not us. And I want to affirm to you that that is incorrect thinking, and that needs to be repented of and cast out of your minds. You are a warrior. Just think about how you feel when someone says you did something wrong. There is something that boils up inside of me, and I'm sure it does with you, because we want to do the right thing all the time. Last week I talked about fighting the good fight of faith and how agonizing that fight is. But we really haven't gotten into the battle. You know, this thing that Jess is talking about is really true. And all of us need to participate as much as possible. We all have free time. And we allow that free time to dictate to us how it's going to be spent. When we're exhorted that in entering this thing with Jesus, we need to flee from sin, and we need to run and learn what righteousness is, faith is, godliness, love, and endure through all that. And today I want to point out there are two things that we face on a regular base today in our lives. They may look different, but really there's only two things that we face: giants and strongholds. And today we're just going to deal with the giants that are in our lives. And we're going to look at the most famous giant killer that I know, which is David. And we all know the story of David and Goliath. But we have to understand that in order to have dominion, true dominion, to spread the kingdom, we've got to destroy the giants and tear down the strongholds. So let us turn to 1 Samuel 17, verses 17 through 54. Are we there? Miss Kim, are we there? She's got the word on. She's got the Bible on her phone. I do too, but it's too small for me to read. All right, let's begin. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take the ephod of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit and see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. In other words, he's saying, you know, go, take this to help supply whoever, his brothers, and bring me back some news. They were with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting their war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Let's stop there for a second. We have been a people for so long having other people what we can't do. That's true. And we look at our small diversity. For years, the black culture was told they're not even people. They can't do this thing called America. People like me that have an Irish heritage. You can't win anything because you're nothing but drunks and fighters. Maybe true, but doesn't negate the fact of the opinion of one person is all that matters. And that is the opinion of our Father, who says you can do all things. He doesn't say we can't do anything except we can't save ourselves. And so some of our giants in our lives need to come down. We need to show them that not only are we capable, we're victorious in every situation because of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be labeled to what the world says we are. Jesus has killed the greatest giant known to mankind, and yet they do not believe that he exists. So I would encourage you to begin to start thinking or rethinking just who you are in Jesus Christ. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. God does not run from the battle. God runs to the battle. He slays his adversaries or his enemies. And he is complete victor in everything that we could ever ask or imagine him to be. Why are you afraid? Because someone said something that you can't, when God says you can? Do you know that fear is a contagion? That if one person is fearful, it affects people around them. The armies of Saul were fearful because Saul was fearful. He forgot who he was. He forgot what God had said about him. And we do too. We believe that this is incredible what God is calling us to. And it is. It is really incredible. And to get the word out, he needs all of us to do just a little bit. I've heard people say to me, "You just don't understand, Pastor." I'm like this all the time. But why are you like this? Is it because you're assuming the worst instead of the best? Which is what a lot of people do. You are more than conquerors. And you are able to slay the giants in your life. It only takes one person to start killing the giants. That too is contagious. I've had people say to me, "You're going to start a church." And I said, "No, I'm not going to start a church. God's already ordained it." And I have to be honest that it's been struggling. It's tough sometimes. My old Bible took a lot of hits out of my frustration because people really are stuck in a mindset of poverty. I can't do this because I'm sick. Jesus provided the healing for you. He's killed that giant of sickness. I can't do this because I don't have the training. Well, get the training. I don't have the money. Get the money. I don't have the job that I really want. Why? Not only can you get that job, God has ordained his people to rule. That means be at the top. And you must slay every giant that comes in to say that you are not capable. You are not one of us. That's right. We're not one of you. But I know someone who is greater than you. And there's nothing that you can throw against me that will prosper. I know that this time with the music event, it's the only way I can describe it, has been telling. It's been telling because leadership has been told by naysayers, "This will never happen. This will never be." Well, I'm not running from the battle. I'm committed. The challenge is, are you? I don't want to hear if I don't understand. I understand succinctly. I understand, first of all, who's in charge. And it's not me. So it comes down to a basic understanding that being afraid is you don't know who's in charge, you don't know who your God is, and you probably are more under it than over it. I'm here to tell you that the leaders of streams are not running except into the battle. Now Israelite had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He goes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his families from taxes in Israel." What a prize. What a prize. Do you know what your reward in heaven is? Do you first of all believe that you'll be rewarded for your effort your agony. Irene's real replete in describing many sleepless nights. Because we're agonizing over this. We're petitioning God to do the things that he said he's promised us to do. And then just stand and believe that he's going to do it. And it takes a little bit to encourage Jess. She's wondering if she heard from God. She's wondering if this is really of God. She's wondering if this event will go over. And I've reassured her that I believe in what God is saying and what God wants to do. That I am committed, not only as her pastor, but her father, that everything's going to work out right. Everything's going to work out okay. Why? Because I sit before the king's feet and I want to know what he's up to. And all he says is, I got this. Like, he's got it. Who's your God? You see, when the rubber hits the road, it's really a telling point as to how much you know your God, how much you trust in him, and how little you really are. You see, David, after he heard everything that Goliath was saying against the armies of God, there was something that rose up in him. Here's a guy who was probably 17, 18 years of age, skinny little kid. And he's going through the camp. And he's hearing all this nonsense from the giant. Now mind you, some estimate that Goliath was 8 to 12 feet tall. It's tall. Probably could play really good basketball. He could just sit on the back of the rim and just swat the balls away. But David wasn't taken by the sight of this individual, for we don't walk by sight. We walk how? By faith. All he knew was that this uncircumcised Philistine was insulting not only the armies of God, but God himself. What is that giant whispering in your ear that you can't do, that you can't become? Are you shirking back in fear? Or are you having something rise up within you that wants to fight? I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. The leader and leaders are not going to run from this, the situation that we're facing. And not only in that event that is with the music, but we also have another event. And God will prove himself strong, no matter what. In spite of us. Because now, insults are being hurled at our God. I know when I was in the secular world that I would say disparaging things against believers, against God, And I did that out of ignorance. No different than what Paul did in persecuting the church until he got knocked off his horse. We have to believe that God is for us. That God wants us to succeed. And he will do whatever he needs to do to show us that he is with us. And he has. He has shown us, and we believe. But it has to be all of us. We are an army of God. And you may be snickering to yourself and say, well, numbers don't make up an army. Our spirits and the type of people we are does. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you've never done this before. It matters what God says. Period. And our testimony, I'm borrowing this off of Miss Bobby. Our testimony comes from our test. Then this is a test. Are you up for the challenge? Are you willing to slay the dragon, kill the giant, in order to stop the insults against our Father? Let me show you another side as we continue. David asked the men standing near him, verse 26, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgust from Israel? Who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is that giant that is speaking insults to you about your Father because you are part of his army? I can remember a story where Elijah was talking with Gehazi. And Gehazi was fearful. Because the Assyrian army, over 1 million men, were coming against Jerusalem. And Gehazi was literally quaking in his soul. And he asked the prophet, he said, why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you really disturbed by the sight of all this coming against little old us? And he said, there's more for us here that's with us than those out there. And God sent an angel and killed over 600,000 in that army. That's the God I serve. That's the God that encourages me. That's the God I will follow, no matter the cost. Because in reality, there's no cost to me. He's paid it all. I get a chance to participate in what he's doing in the land. Verse 27, and they repeated to him what they had said and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Then Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, and he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave these few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. There are those in our camp. There are those who are sitting here who are saying, God can't do this. The pastor, you're arrogant. the pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't know the battles that I'm fighting. You don't know. And it makes them angry. And it'll make you angry. And I say, you don't know God. You have a form of religion, but you don't know the power of God. I said to Jess, I said, even if this thing falters, I'm not leaving the battle. Even if this thing shakes, I will not leave the battle. And I've told leaders, don't jump in my foxhole if you aren't as committed to taking down the giant as I am. I only have one response. Before I kill the giant, I'm going to kill you. As my grandson says, no giving up, no defeat. No surrender, no defeat is how he really says it. I'm not going to surrender to the pressure. And the pressure that Jess is feeling, I feel. This is not a simple thing. And what Pastor Gomez was saying is really true. I didn't mean this to be a heavy, but God is changing something in me to present a different message for you. You see, I don't need to know your circumstances. I don't need to know what you're fighting. I need to encourage you that even in the darkest times that you're going through right now, and Satan is roaring. He is throwing all kinds of stuff. He is throwing at our jobs. He is causing distress in our families. He is causing sickness and death to try to intimidate us. And I say, it won't work. It won't work. You have to be committed to the defeat of your adversary. And the defeat of our adversary is not going to take 30 minutes talking to God and everything's cool. It requires more of us. And hear me, I'm saying more of us. Because all of us are in this. Believe it or not. And those who are in our camp who have no understanding as to who God is and what he is capable of doing. And yeah, they've suffered some things and gone through some things and, oh, praise God. Praise God. You know, God did this, did that. Some of the leaders remember how the enemy attacked me out of my foolishness. And I have recovered. I have been steadfast in working to recover my health, to lead the armies of God and defeat his enemies. And we were at that stage. Nothing's changed. Just I had to spend a little time out so God could prepare your hearts. I'm not prideful. I'm not arrogant. I just know my God. Even though he would slay me, as Job would say, I will praise him. It's he who's made us. But the world is trying to indoctrinate a false religion of science, telling that us that he didn't do any of this. The reality is science is only confirming who God is and how wonderful he is. We're entering into a time, as I had said many times, that it's exciting. It's exciting because we got off the bench, or actually off the bleachers, and we got a chance to sit on the bench. Any of us who have played organized sports understand that concept. But now we're getting to play the game. We're getting a chance to show God we're ready. All the stuff that's been going on in our lives is being used for this time. This time for you to slay your giants. Cast off the naysayers. Because you'll always have naysayers. The question is, when we hear those words, we start believing them. Karl Marx said, if you tell a lie enough times, people start to believe it. If I tell the truth enough times, you will believe it. That's what I'm telling you now, is the truth. Jesus did not die to make a way for us to go to heaven. No. That's one of the benefits we get. He saved us to spread the gospel of his kingdom no matter the naysayers, no matter the giants, no matter what you're facing or going through. And you know what? We come through it. We always come through it. How great is your God? I'm not only trusting him with my life. I'm trusting him with my substance. I'm trusting him in every area of my life. I've learned to ask the questions. And one of the major questions is, for what purpose did God do this? You see, when you understand what the purpose is, that's part of the equipping into your life. It's not a checklist any longer. He calls us, we come up front and center. Yes, God. Pastor Gary reporting for service. When he gave us this building, he said, it will start as a beachhead, and I will assemble my army, and you will be made captain over 40,000. I don't see 40,000 yet, but I'm believing. You're but the first. And we're progressing. But when people tell me I can't do something, I tell them, you're right. But God. We sat at the settlement table. And our lawyer said to me, Pastor, you did everything wrong. And I said to him, I said, but God, are you as defined as I am to really realize who's in control here? I defy anybody to tell me I can't do something. And I will agree with them. And then I will turn to my father and say, did you hear what they just said? Vindicate me. And he does. That's how good God is. But let us continue. Verse 29. David says, what have I done? Can't I even speak? And he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, the fearful king, and sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. There was something that David knew. Saul was trying to get this tone lowered. And David was declaring before him his faith in God. He wasn't going to bear up listening to the insults anymore. He was going to be an instrument that God was going to use to proclaim his victory. Saul was frightened. And because he was frightened, so was his army. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is for us. God is for you. He has predestined you to succeed. If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. I love Claire. I love what God is doing. And she's only begun to enter in to the fullness that God wants to do. He spoke to her. In a sense, he says, I got this. I got this for you. Relax, chill out. I got this one. What is God saying to you? Well, I'm not spending any time with God. Maybe you ought to be here Thursday night, because you know what? This is where the power of God's going to start coming now. It's not a matter how much you pray. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what they ask for. Come. Pastor Dan has a teaching to encourage us, to show forth how God is awesome. And yes, he does speak to us from time to time. He's preparing us for something even greater than the music festival. He said, what, 3 weeks ago? Because our heart is right and we're focusing on souls, God said he will do this thing for us. It's awesome. God is in our midst. I get more overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God, that my shaking legs isn't from fear, it's how awesome God is. Who can stand before him? Moses stood before him. But when it came to Israelites to stand before him, they quaked and shuddered and said, you just go up there and ask him what he wants of us, and we'll do it, I think, maybe. God is awesome. Verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued that sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to him, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him, a brass helmet. David fastened the sword over this torn tunic and tried walking about, and he said, I can't go in these things because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. God is speaking to you right now. And so is the devil. What voice are you listening to? David was declaring his faith in God. How was he doing that? He was remembering and encouraging himself in all the situations that he was trained in. God delivered him. God is my deliverer. No matter what, he's still God and he's my deliverer. As I go into these situations, even though they may get tough, and each one's getting a little tougher and tougher, he's still training my hands for war. I will not flinch. I will not retreat. I will go through whatever it is that God has called into my life, because I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to see that you have a pastor that will take the hits no matter what the enemy throws. And he will pray for you. He will get involved in your life. The choice is, will you do what God says? A lot of us don't have testimonies because we didn't bear up under the pressure of the testing. And so we don't have a testimony. Think about what you've gone through. The operations that you've had. The people who died in your life. People who are trying to be the naysayers of your life. I just cut them out. If you don't add anything to my life, I'll cut you out. That's not being haughty or prideful. I don't want my faith in God to be tainted by someone who has lack of faith. I will encourage people to stay the course, go through this thing, learn from it. But something real important that we see here that many don't talk about is, be who God created you to be. Don't take someone else's persona, giftings, or something like that. I've met too many Christians that said, man, I just want to be like him. I just want to be who I am in God. You are a special people. You have value to him. The world despises you. The world will assault you. The world will lie to you. But that's not our Father. You may be in the midst of the toughest things in your life, but you didn't come through this by yourself. You came through it with the help of God, whether you want to understand it or not. Whether you want to admit it or not. Every person is uniquely made by God. Every situation is unique to that person. Every giant that you slay gives you a testimony. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame the adversary by the word of the testimony. If you don't have one, get one. By the blood of the Lamb, you have been forgiven of your sins and every fault and shortcoming. And they did not even care about their lives. I don't know about you, but I'm going to live forever. Doesn't matter what I have to face in this life. What matters to me is that I see His face and hear His voice say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." David was about to unleash upon a seemingly impossible task in the natural to slay a guy who's 8 to 10 feet tall. He must have weighed, let's say, 300-400 pounds. Maybe more. I mean, he was a hulk. One time I stood next to Reggie White. This is true. I was at a wedding. And he performed the service. And afterwards, you know, we're talking. And he was at the reception. And this guy, he was 6'6", 300 and some pounds. And I weigh about 200 pounds. But I felt like I was a kid next to this hunk of a man. Now I'm imagining how David felt against this giant. And yet, he defied the giant. He wasn't going to let the giant tell him who he was. He wasn't going to let the world label him. You're this, you're that, you have this, you have that. No, my Bible says you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And all I've been doing for the last couple of weeks is telling you, you have a warring spirit. That does not, it is impossible for this spirit to give up, because that's our Father's spirit in us. And what I'm doing is exhorting you to fight the good fight of faith, because we're in this to win it for our God and our King. The world is insulting us, hates us, doing all things to impede us. We can't do warfare like somebody else. Every church is unique. And what God has said about streams is we are being prepared for the end time. We're not waiting for the end time. We're preparing it. We're waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come back. And we are destroying His enemies. It may take 5 years. It may take 10 years. Whatever it's going to take, that giant has to come down. Because God says so. God says so. I can do all things through Christ. Do you believe that? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. As long as He's with me, is God in your circumstances? Are you allowing God to begin to direct it so that you can see victory coming? You can see the giant is about ready to fall. You can get excited about our God, your Father. He's got this. He's got you in the palm of his hand. And there's no one able to snatch you out of it. He brings you close to his bosom. I think about King Kong. You know, he took that woman, brought it close, and then he did battle. That's how awesome God is. He never loses. And neither do you. So David, verse 40 says, then he took off his staff at his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. He put them in his pouch of the shepherd's bag and with his sling in hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer, kept shouting out these things, kept saying, you can't do this. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to win this victory and you're going to be my slave forever. He looked over at David and saw that he was a boy, ruddy and handsome. He despised him. He wasn't even a warrior. And here's this guy being insulted because the army of God consisted of one little person who believed God, exhorted the armies of God that don't be afraid. This guy's coming down. He's going to cut him down like an old tree. And he said to David, am I a dog that you should come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said. I will give your flesh to the birds and eat of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. That's faith speaking. You got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. You've got to know how to fight the good fight of faith in such a way that you can declare, you're coming down. You're a warrior. You like to fight. Not in the physical. Although, I liked to fight when I was younger. Never lost. But I'm in a fight that's beyond me. David was in a fight beyond him. 46. And this day the Lord will hand you over to me and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by spear or sword that the Lord saves, for the battle belongs to God, and he will give all of you into our hands. That's a victory chant. That's a declaration that the things we're facing are coming down. One way or another. I don't know how God's going to do it, but you're coming down. Do you talk like that, or do you, oh, please, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruffle your feathers. I didn't mean to insult you. Sorry. I'm not that touchy-feely type of person. I want to exhort you that today is the day that your giant comes down. All those here will know, verse 47, all those here will know that it's not by sword or spirit that the Lord saves, but for the battle belongs to God. and he will give all of you into our hands. And then the Philistine moved even closer to attack him. And David ran into the battle lines to meet him. You may be unsure of the fight, but I say to you that you run into the fight, God is about to do some amazing, awesome things through you to bring this giant down. One thing you have to understand about giants and strongholds. A giant represents an outside situation that is in opposition to you. An outside situation to you. To bring a stronghold down, a stronghold is something in us, inhibiting us from becoming what God has called us to be. Those strongholds are real and must come down. A giant, you rally your faith and make the declarations of faith of who God is, who is fighting for you. Whether you see it or not, he is fighting for you. And no enemy can stand against our God. None. 49, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. That stone is the Lord Jesus Christ who directs your victory. All you need to do is release him. And he will always hit the mark to bring your giant down. It's not Peter. God changed his name. It's not Peter. Jesus is my rock. I have a stress ball that my grandkids like to chew on and bite pieces out of it, but it's still a rock. I don't use the stress ball for stress. I just like looking at it and declaring to God in my prayer time. I just walk around praising him for who he is and what he's done and the victory that he's going to give to me today. I'm not worried about tomorrow, but today he says we have enough. And I walk in that victory. David ran and stood over him and he took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard and he killed him. He cut off his head with that sword. How satisfying that is. How satisfying that God uses us to bring the victory and then he gives us the privilege of cutting the head off the giant. That's our testimony. What is God doing in your life? What does he want to do further on? What is it that he's telling you to get ready for so that you can cut the head of the giant off? So that you may reveal to those in your families, in your places of work or school or whatever, how awesome God is. Yeah, they can have their philosophies and vain religious activities and stuff. We have something real and tangible. It's a relationship with the living God, the only true and living God. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sararim road to Gath and Ekron. And when the Philistines returned from chasing the, or when the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. And David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. And he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. Why did David take the head of Goliath to Jerusalem? That's a question I want you to ponder, because next week I'll give you the answer. And it's awesome. Part of that answer is, in defeating the giant, it led to pulling down a stronghold in your life. Are you ready to run to the battle? Get involved? I mean, Jess is exhorting us to do even more. That video with the bands is an awesome piece of work. But it takes time. We were celebrating a birthday party last night, and one of the people saw the video and said to Jess, you have a team? Because this is really professional in what you're doing. And she humbly said, no. It's me. And God's using me. I may not be talented in all the new age of electronics, but you are. You have something to bring to this war to acquire our victory. I don't know what that is. But I think it's about time that we do something. Because too many churches have people sitting in the pews with so many people doing things, activities. I want to be known as a church, not only taking this community for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring him glory and honor. And he's speaking to me about getting involved in grants, getting involved in things that would help us to promote an educational center, to promote activities for our youth, to promote people getting their GED. I mean, he's just speaking these things to me, and I'm saying, but Lord, where are we going to put them? You see, the roof is but the start of that. And we're all going to fulfill that vision, because I'm hearing all the naysayers. I'm hearing all the people saying this is not going to happen. You're just telling me you're not going to have a part of this. Okay. But God, I'm confident in my God. You have the ability to take down every giant in your life. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God has made you unique and successful because he loves you, and he has endowed us with so many promises of success that it will be impossible for us to hold them in this life. That's why we have to take on an eternal body. We'll take the mortality off and become immortal. I exhort you. Start speaking faith. Start declaring the word of God. Too many people are insulting him by insulting you. I will not be silent. And neither should you. Let's pray. Father, your word is eternal. Your word is summed up in yes and amen. Cause the warrior to arise, God. Cause a spirit that is different from the world to arise in your army. Cause them to see the impossible things that you want to do through them. Cause them to tell people, not just other believers, but tell people about you and what you're doing in their life, God. And how the kingdom is transforming them from the inside out. God, give them a true spirit after you. Give them a renewed mind that would comprehend the depth, the breadth, the height, the width of your love. God, change them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like